live from the heart of Los Angeles. This is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, actor, outdoorsman, and author of Parable Philosophies for Happiness, Tom Gurney.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Mike Berman. I am Mark Legere, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I love a good story. And I know we say that, but where do we really get our stories today? Maybe we watch a movie that might have a good story, or a story that's been hashed and rehashed or done in many different forms. So are we really being introduced to new stories? Or we hear stories on the news, or we might see some stories on our social media. But I hadn't thought about this in a long time, that growing up, there were people around me, my family, that told stories of the old country in our case, or stories of, like, they were parables or they were fables, and they usually had a message. And some of them in our family, we remember them and we tell them, or we'll start one and everybody will know what we're talking about. And I think when's the last time I as a life coach, I hear a lot of stories, but when's the last time, like, I sat around with people who shared a story just to share a story? And then whatever happens because the story is told, especially if it's a good one, something else happens. So thanks to our guest today and me reading his book, I'm in the process of reading his book, Parable Philosophies for Happiness by Tom Gurney. I thought, oh, yes, stories, fables and parables. And so I thought, well, let me surprise myself. Let me just pick a story, a fable out of the blue and share it with the audience. Like, I'm going to share this story or this parable, but I'll pick one out of the book. And of course, I land on one that I know nothing about. It's called The Waterfall, and it's chapter 28. And I thought, okay, this one seems good. Well, wouldn't you know it? It's about life changes. It's about everything going on in the world right now. But so here it goes. So it's The Waterfall. And as Tom says in his book, it's a timeless Taoist parable that draws inspiration from the natural world to impart profound wisdom about the virtues of flexibility and adaptability in the face of change. Okay. In the heart of a lush, secluded valley, surrounded by ancient forests and mist-covered mountains, there was a magnificent waterfall. Its cascading waters tumbled gracefully over jagged rocks, a symbol of life's unceasing flow and boundless energy. At the base of this majestic cascade stood a wise Taoist master. His flowing white beard and calm presence reflected a lifetime of harmony with the natural world. Villagers and travelers alike would journey to him seeking wisdom about life's complexities. One day, a curious traveler approached the master. "Master," he said, "I have heard you speak of the Tao and the flow of life. Can you help me understand these teachings through the example of this waterfall?" The master turned toward the waterfall, his eyes serene. "Observe the water," he said, gesturing to the rushing cascade. "It flows endlessly, embracing the twists and turns of its journey without resistance. It does not cling to the rocks, nor resist the changes in its course. In its flexibility, the water reveals its strength and grace." As the traveler watched, he saw the subtle beauty of the water's journey. The master continued, "The water teaches us a profound lesson. It does not resist the rocks, nor does it demand a fixed path. Instead, it adapts, finding its way naturally and effortlessly. This is the way of the Tao, to embrace life with flexibility and adaptability. Pondering the master's words, the traveler asked, "But how does this relate to happiness?" The master smiled softly. "Happiness, like the flowing water, comes when we release our resistance to change. By clinging to expectations or resisting the inevitable currents of life, we create suffering. Yet by embracing life's changes with openness and grace, we flow with its natural rhythm. In this fluidity lies true joy and peace." The traveler nodded, his heart stirred by the wisdom of the master and the waterfall. As he departed, the cascading waters seemed to echo the lesson. To live in harmony with the flow is to find both strength and happiness. And so it must be.
Profound. And yet I find myself exploring the juxtaposition of the waterfalls and the flow and the California fires that we're navigating right now.
Mm-hmm. It ran through my mind and how we could use that waterfall on the fires.
This is true. And the flow, but so many relevant messages.
What it means to live a meaningful life is the title of this episode. This is our episode 824, and you heard a snippet of our guest's book. He is an actor, he's an outdoorsman, and author of Parable Philosophies for Happiness. We are happy to have him. Also, I should say, a friend, Tom Gurney. Welcome to the Life Changer Show.
Thank you, Filippo. I'm so glad and so honored to be here with you and Dorothy and Mark and Kaylin and Thomas. Really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure. And as Dorothy has said, and Mike said, it's been a long time. And I thanks to Dorothy, I've known you many years, and I've known you to be all that, the actor, the outdoorsman. You were always into this and learning that and running to that and out and about on your adventures. And then I heard something that stopped me in my tracks, and there were prayers and there was sadness. Tell us what I heard about you that you know.
Yes, absolutely. May I just take a quick moment to acknowledge you, Filippo, and you, Dorothy, Mark, Kaylin, Thomas, for this show and being so dedicated to it. I just want to say that you guys are helping and have helped so many people, and it's because of, you know, the caring and the compassion and the empathy that people like you have. You guys make this world a better place. Thank you. Oh, and of course, thanks to everyone out there in podcast land listening to this great man and all the wonderful guests that he has on the show. Without you guys out there, you know, something like this does not continue. So thank you for
taking,
you're absolutely welcome, taking a moment of your precious time out there to listen. Oh, and just one more thing. I just want to say, please, God, let me be fascinating, easy to listen to, maybe a little fun and funny, and allow what I have to say to be positive and have a positive impact on somebody out there. It will make all of this time well worth it. Thank you very much.
So it is.
Every little bit helps, especially in my case. So. back to the original question. How did I end up here? back in 2019, I was having little issues. I ended up having a 2-inch kidney stone, of all things. And if anyone out there has ever had a kidney stone, which I certainly hope you never will have, it can be excruciatingly painful. I found out I had this very large kidney stone, and basically the doctors told me that I needed to have it surgically removed. So I was up for that. I go into the hospital and I find out that I wake up 5 days later. My mother is there in the room with me, and seeing your mother, who lives in a distant town, 1,000 miles away from you and in your hospital room, made me come up with the thought, oh, something must have happened. I won't say
We get it.
the
Yes.
word. Okay, very good. My body was basically paralyzed. I could not move my legs. I could barely move my left arm up. I was told that my speech was somewhat slurred, and the clock on the wall was fuzzy.
And you had been in a coma all this time, right?
Apparently, I was in a coma for those 5 days. Yes, before I woke up, I must have been speaking with God or something like that. And he was telling me, Tom, it's not your time yet. You got to go back down and go do something. I don't know exactly what that thing is. Nothing has, no epiphany has popped into my head or anything like that. But I have a little story to tell. And,
Yeah, before I yeah, I was about to say, I don't know, it sounded like an epiphany what you shared with me, but before we get into that, and so began a journey where you were needing to learn how to walk again and how to move again and who knows what. And I know that you're still in process, but you have moved so far along that we're having this conversation today and thankfully so. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that journey? Because it's not just the physical, it was the emotional as well, right?
absolutely. It was extremely emotional in the very beginning. I basically went through 3 years of the darkest depression that anyone could possibly fathom. And there was a day, probably my lowest day that I have ever lived, where the pain was so intense and the heat in my legs was so intense, and I felt so alone in the world. One of the unfortunate characteristics of a spinal cord injury is that you don't want to be involved with society at all. You just want to go away, and that's because of the psychological impact of an injury like this. And it was awful. So I was crying my eyes out that day, I remember. And the trauma was just so bad that day that I actually picked up my phone and began to dial the suicide hotline. Sorry, it's still I years 5 years later, I'm still getting very emotional about it. But it was in that moment that I had some clarity. And I'll step back for a moment and just tell a little very brief story that a year prior to my injury, I was hiking in the middle of California in the place called the Bristlecone Pine Tree National Forest. And it's a magical place, for me at least, anyway. It is here where the oldest trees in the world are located, right outside of Bishop, California, in a place called the White Mountains. And these trees grow upwards at 7,000-foot elevation and above. And when there's a tree there that is nicknamed Methuselah, and it is literally 4,859 years, I think it is. Now, to put that in perspective, that's older than the pyramids in Giza. And it's still alive. This tree is still alive. When you hike down into the Methuselah Grove, as it's called, the energy there is magical. Magical. And fortunately, when I was there in October, I was by myself. So on the pathway, I just sat down and had a little meditation. And I got into my meditation and I asked the question, dear trees, what is it that I should know? What do I need to learn? And a few seconds went by, and then all of a sudden these three words popped into my head: endurance through adversity. And so there I was, it's like, okay, endurance through adversity. Okay, great. All right, whatever. Fast forward a
You
year and a
asked the question.
half. Fast forward a year and a half, and there I am,
You
with my
got your
phone in my
answer.
hand, crying my eyes out, calling the suicide hotline, prevention hotline, and those three magical words popped right back into my head: endurance through adversity. And it was that moment that I made a change. I made a decision that I refused to live like that anymore. I refused to live in the depths of depression. And ever since that time, these little synchronicities have been happening, Filippo. These little great wonderful things have been happening. I got on I got back onto the Clubhouse app after being away from it for over a year, and the second room that I went into was being led by a trauma therapist, and she is an encyclopedia of trauma, and I was listening and for a little while, and then finally I decided to introduce myself, which I did, and the next thing I know, I'm bawling my eyes out to everyone that's on the line there in the app, and to her. And she said, and she listened, and she said, okay, Tom, let's just take a quick moment and let's breathe. And so I did. I took a nice deep breath. I held it for a little bit with her and let it go slowly. And she said, okay, let's do it again, which I did. And she said, okay, let's do it a third time, which I did. And the next thing I know, I'm not crying anymore. And I have retaken my mind back.
And Tom, to put it into perspective also, because I think I know some of this story as you were experiencing it. You at this point were in a wheelchair, right?
Oh, yes. Well, as of today, I am walking with a walker, short distances, and for longer distances, I still have to use a manual wheelchair. That's correct.
So at that point, when you were having those experiences, you were still very much in process, or at the beginning of your process,
I was at the beginning of the process,
right?
absolutely. Yes, and going through the depths of hell. I mean, waking up in pain at 3 o'clock in the morning and having the pain so bad and the heat in my legs being so bad that you have to get into a cold water bath, sometimes with ice. It sucks. It sucks.
I can't imagine, especially since you went in the hospital for one thing and then came out with a whole different other experience.
I was a mountain climber, Filippo. I was climbing 13,000-foot mountains, and the next thing I know, I can't use my legs. Boo.
I can't imagine, Tom. That's what I said when I heard the story. It just stopped me in my tracks at the time. And I know other particulars of the story of what also happened to you around that time. And not only that, then it was COVID, so everything else stopped around that time. So you had insult on top of injury on top of injury on it just all in one moment, your life changed. Interestingly enough, so the synchronicity started to happen as you feel like you made a decision, and one teacher led to another who could support in one way or another way. And I feel like there's a whole other book there that's not this one. But since we're talking about the parables, why parables? How did they help you during that time?
It was one of my teachers along the way that told me of the parable of the two wolves.
Ah.
And this is chapter 21 in my book. And that parable literally helped change my life.
In your own words, tell us that parable, if you would.
Sure. In my own words? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So they're in the stillness of a Cherokee Indian village. This is Native American wisdom, by the way. There is an old chief, and he gathers his grandchildren around a campfire. And the night is beautiful, and there are stars everywhere in the universe. And he starts to tell a little story to the grandchildren there. And he says, in each of us, there is a battle that rages. And it's a battle between two wolves, each vying for control of our hearts and our minds. And the first wolf, he explained, is dark and destructive and black. It carries with it anger and envy and sorrow, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, pride, superiority, and ego. And his voice softens as the children begin to take this in. The second wolf, he says, is light and white and filled with goodness. And this wolf embodies joy and peace and love and hope and serenity, kindness, empathy, truth, compassion, and faith. And the children sat there around the campfire in silence, their eyes wide, and they imagined the battle of the two wolves within them. And finally, one of the children speaks up and says, "Grandfather, which wolf is going to win?" To which the chief replies, "The one that you feed." Filippo, when I heard that parable, and something in my mind just flipped. It was like a light switch. And I instantly knew that over those 3 years, I was feeding the black wolf. And I needed to feed the white wolf. And to this day, I always have that. Just this morning, as a matter of fact, I was thinking a thought, and then all of a sudden I said, wait, this is not a good thought. What wolf are you feeding? Let's go and feed the white wolf instead. So if there's anything that I can impart to any listener out there, first breathe.
We'll get into that, actually.
Okay.
Before we do, you know, I so when I met you, you're a very creative guy. We're doing all kinds of computer stuff, and you're also acting and going into Hollywood and doing acting. And so I knew you were very outdoors. You were very athletic. You know, you were fit and all of that. So if I were to describe Tom Gurney, that I would describe Tom Gurney. But when all of that, it was taken away from you. It's interesting that we didn't talk about this, you and I, before the show, and I'm very interested in your answer to this question. So if Tom Gurney isn't all that, who is Tom Gurney? At least all that in the moment.
I would like to say that Tom Gurney is someone who cares.
Mm.
And I wrote this book because I want to share ways, I want to share strategies of happiness to people out there. And this goes especially to anyone that may be disabled, like I am currently. I want to say that you are not alone. There are many, many people out there that are caring and empathetic with what you're going through. And I am one of those people for you, by the way. I care. And I want to share strategies. I want to share knowledge with you so that anyone listening out there, if you're having a tough time, if you're in the middle of funk, whatever it may be, you're not alone. There are people like me and Filippo and Dorothy and everyone on the show and everyone listening out there and sharing this. There's a way that you can get through it. There is. For the people with the fire, going through the fires right now, I want to say that I have an intimate knowledge, unfortunately, with fire destruction. My sister's house was burned down in the Horse Fire of San Diego years back. I've been there, and I've been thinking about it's like, what can I share about the fires? And it came to me that the phoenix, the mythological phoenix, arises out of the ashes. And if you can, if a person out there can remember that, you will get through it. I promise you, you'll get through it. Stay positive out there, people.
I stopped you when you started to say, how to get out of a rut, a mental rut, or a sadness or depression. So there are a couple things you can do that don't cost any money, right?
Yes, exactly.
And those are.
Yes, the first thing is to breathe. Take those deep breaths. The second is to remember, feed your white wolf. And the third thing that I can say is get into gratitude and journal gratitude. You will be absolutely amazed at how fast things can turn to the positive for you when you begin to look at what is around you that you're grateful for. I mean, there are times where I'll sit in a bath of Epsom salts and I'll just start. I'll say thank you, I'll say thank you, thank you, thank you for this clean water, for this hot water that I have. Thank you for the Epsom salts. Thank you for et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'll just get on this roll, and the next thing I know, I'm getting, I mean, you could probably hear it in my voice. You get fired up, and it just becomes this snowball of gratitude. And you say, thank you, thank you, thank you, more please, thank you, more please. And you're putting that energy out into the universe, and the universe responds to you. And it says, okay, well, this guy is in gratitude, and he's saying more please, so let's give him some more. Next thing you know, something else happens that's very positive, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So breathe, remember your white wolf, and get into gratitude. Those are easy ways and great ways that you can get yourself out of any funk, get yourself out of any rabbit hole that you go down. Trust me, it works. It works.
So you may recall I mentioned earlier how you were always working on things on the computer and you're very creative. Well, there was a moment when so it was COVID and this had happened to you and you were experiencing what you were experiencing. Obviously, your income was cut off in every which way. So, how did you muster up, the ability to get back onto something, and what are those somethings? Because it's interesting how one in particular is actually like so aligned with everything you're saying, your t-shirts. But we'll get into that. I mean, I loved them. So tell us, like, what did you tell yourself? How did you talk yourself through to that
Sure.
next step?
Sure. I've always been an avid photographer and always been an avid designer online. And I knew that I needed to get creative. My juices flow when I am in creativity. And so I found someone that was talking about starting a t-shirt shop online. And so I said, hey, yeah, I could probably do that. And so I did. And next thing I know, I'm designing all these great t-shirts. And I've got this great site called affirmativegear.com where you can see some of these t-shirts. And they're a lot of them are positive based. You'll find my Endurance Through Adversity t-shirt there, obviously.
Yes, 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 yes.
Relentless, relent, relentless, relentless cannot be defeated is another one that was told to me by an eight-figure billionaire, excuse me, millionaire guy. Relentlessness cannot be defeated. That's another strong one for me.
So you get your messages from trees and multimillionaires.
Yeah, something like that, right?
Well, we actually have another link that people can explore too, that where you have you support people in helping gain wealth in different ways. So we have all the links for Tom Gurney, including for the book, which is on Amazon and on his well on Amazon. So we have the links. You can go to lifechangershow.com and look up Tom Gurney. Tom is Tom and then Gurnee. Tom, I have a feeling you're going to act again because you still look great. You still got that attitude, and you got that can do,
And
will
do
do,
it to
can do,
finish.
will do. There's
Yes.
another shirt, can do, will do.
I'm not a quitter, so people out there, don't quit. You can do it. You can. Press on. I promise you can do it. Thank you, Filippo.
No, thank you, and more power to you. This is I've been through Dorothy, who I introduced me to you a long time ago. She's been sharing the story, and it was shocking and delighting to know to see what you've done and what you've learned for you that is helping you, but then turning it around and having that not only desire, but ability to share with others through your book, through your t-shirts, and through your speaking. You're planning on doing more speaking actually for people with disabilities, right?
Yes, that's correct. I'm getting lined up with other podcasts as we speak, and looking forward to sharing what I share with others, and looking forward to learning, of course, from all of you and everyone else that I run into.
So, Tom, if people want to come hear you speak or be on a list or something, is Facebook at Tom Gurney Official the best way to follow you?
That is correct. Yes, I'll be posting pretty much everything there. So thank you.
Okay. Tom, thank you. Unless you have any last words of wisdom.
Everything I believe has been said, but thank you.
And the rest is in the book if it hasn't been said.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right.
although
We've shared two parables, and there are 28 more in the book to hopefully help yourself out with. And thank you so much, everybody. Thank you out there, podcast listeners. I really appreciate your taking the time to listen.
Parable Philosophies for Happiness by Tom Gurney. Thank you so much, Tom. What a pleasure. Looking forward to connect again real soon.
I look forward to that too, Filippo. Thank
Okay.
you.
Until then. Oh, talk about life lessons, what it means to live a meaningful life. I mean, can't think of a better title for this moment in the world, Mark. And that parable about the waterfall.
The waterfall parable, and that's been flowing through my consciousness since you said it. And so I got a ping to look it up. And we all know what a waterfall is, but there's a couple of interesting points that come up, which is a cascade of water falling from a height formed when a river or stream flows over a precipice or a steep incline. And obviously, there's so many aspects of that that came through those discussions and endurance and the wisdom of the trees that he was talking about.
And we're on a precipice of
And
something.
we are on m multiple precipices,
For
I'm
sure.
sure. But then going to the second definition, even, which was interesting, because you talk about a waterfall project, which we use these words in business all the time. But each phase of a waterfall project must be complete prior to moving to the next phase.
Oh, wow. And there it is. And with that, it's time for our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Jeff, and I live in LA, and I'm so fearful with all of the wildfires in LA right now. Even though it appears that my home will continue to be safe, how can I calm myself?
Dear Jeff, the wildfires in Los Angeles can be extremely unsettling to those of us who live here and those who have loved ones in LA. It's natural to feel anxious or fearful during such events. However, there are several strategies you can use to maintain calm and safeguard your mental health during such stressful times. Wildfires can feel overwhelming, so please remind yourself of the things you can control. Most importantly, in case you begin getting evacuation warnings, here are a few things that can help you. One, have a plan as to where you can go, and if you have pets, where you can go with your pets. Two, have food and water ready to take with you and in your home in case things are closed in your area for a while. Three, make sure you have a full tank of gas in the car and some extra gas in case you need it. Four, take winter clothes and several blankets to keep you warm. Five, plan a couple of different options of escape routes should you be asked to evacuate. This is just a simple sample list, and I suggest you make your own. You can find lists online from people who have suffered such tragedies and have written about what has served them or what they wish they had packed, etc. And, dear Jeff, staying informed is of the utmost importance, and you can do this by monitoring reliable sources like the local fire department or emergency services for updates. You can also tune in to one of the many news channels that are covering the fires. However, don't overdo it by constantly watching the news or scrolling through social media, as this can be emotionally draining and amplify anxiety. Set specific times to check updates rather than consuming information all day long. This can help maintain a sense of calm. It is also important to reach out to friends and family for emotional support and to share your evacuation plans. Having someone to talk to or even sit quietly with can create a sense of safety. If you're separated, check in with them regularly to make sure they're okay. Meditation or mindfulness practices can help you calm your mind and reduce stress. Apps like Headspace, Calm, or Insight Timer offer guided meditations that can help you manage anxiety during such stressful events. And please remember that it's important to give yourself permission to step away from the situation mentally. Engage in activities that relax you, whether it's reading, watching a favorite show, or doing something creative. Allow yourself time to decompress. Light exercise can often help reduce anxiety. Even going for a walk or stretching can release endorphins, which can improve your mood. Just make sure you're not overexerting yourself, especially if the air quality is poor due to smoke. And dear Jeff, please know that it's normal to feel fear or uncertainty during stressful times like this. Rather than suppressing those emotions, give yourself permission to feel them. Acknowledge that this is a difficult situation, but remind yourself that you are doing your best to stay safe and take care of yourself. Grounding yourself in practices that center your body and mind can help you navigate through the chaos with greater resilience. Take one step at a time, stay connected, and remember that you're not alone in facing these challenges. In fact, you can get together online or in person with your large group of friends who are also in the midst of chaos and pray together or meditate together, focusing on ending this challenge now. we will all get through this temporary situation.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her calmly at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And for our performance segment, we have a folk and California folk rock singer, songwriter, performer, storyteller. I just had to add that. Mike Berman, welcome, Mike, to the show.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure to be here, and I'm really grateful to join you and enjoyed hearing about Tom's journey. Fantastic.
Thank you. We're happy to have you here. Yes, we enjoyed Tom as well. And I sense a theme. You and I talked a lot about fires. Of course, we talked a lot about storytelling, actually, yeah, as well. So though your songs aren't parables, technically they can be.
I think so. I mean, they Some certainly have meaning to me, and I hope people take meaning away from them. And it's surprising, too, that when you tell a story, sometimes the storyteller might think it means one thing and the person hearing it might think it means something completely different. And I think yes, that's kind of great.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, perception and filters and all of that. And a song can mean something sometime and something else another time.
Absolutely.
Well, interestingly enough, music has meant different things to you. Actually, we were talking before the show how you started in this and then you went to that, but then you had to stop. And so tell us a little bit about that musical journey to here so we have a perspective.
Sure, Filippo. Well, I can remember singing and enjoying music from as far back as my memories go. And my parents talked about how I would lie in bed and sing. And, you know, I think one of the first things that happens is that for a lot of people, singing in school is not a positive experience. There's a lot of judgment. So I actually got convinced at one point I really couldn't sing very well because people would, you know, they would laugh at you or say, oh, look at him singing that song. But you know, I got through that. And then when I was in high school, I played in various bands. And when I say band, I use that as in the broadest possible term, because they were bands that never made it out of the bedroom or the living room. But, it was joy, and it was sharing with my friends, and it was a way to get into the music. And so I played on and off. I played some, with different people over the years. But, you know, once I had children and I was working full time, it became very much a hobby on the side. It wasn't something that I would put a huge amount of attention to. But I always loved the music. But I'm really fortunate that in the last few years, I was able to taper off working full time. My kids are mostly taking care of themselves, which is wonderful. And I can really focus on the enjoyment that I get from writing songs and singing them. And it's really great.
As I'm listening to you, I'm reminded, I could have actually mentioned at the beginning of it, I'd forgotten that you also inspired that desire to listen to somebody tell a story. And I was experiencing that through your songs. Like I think I might've said the very first time we connected, like I haven't listened to a story song like yours in a long time. And normally it's a song from another period. So it's right. Great that you're singing them today from today.
Well, and there are lots of people who still do this and still create new story songs, or sometimes considered singer songwriter or folk music. But I think the real key is, as you say, the storytelling and the connection. And a lot more people were familiar. It was a lot more popular in the days of when Jackson Browne and James Taylor, by the way, are both still around and both still very good. But when they were extremely popular, or Billy, Harry Chapin, what a fantastic storyteller he was. And there were, you know, and there were a lot of great story songwriters. Bob Dylan, of course, we all owe it to him. Joni Mitchell, more recently, Lucinda Williams, fantastic storyteller. If you're not familiar with her, she's just an incredible storyteller. So I think that combining the stories and the music, I mean, a story by itself can be absolutely fantastic and magical and moving. And a song, just for a song, can be wonderful. But for me, the best is when you can put them together, and that's what I love, and I'm just so fortunate to have the opportunity to do it.
So we're going to get to hear two songs, and is one of them going to be folk and the other one California folk rock? And if not, could you explain the difference?
Well, I think people who make music kind of tend to chafe at those genres. They were created as marketing tools, so I think, like most people, my music spans a lot of different styles. But I think the first one we're going to hear definitely owes a lot to kind of 60s and 70s folk rock kind of feel to it. But again, even though that was the origin of it, there are a lot of people still writing and making that kind of music. So, but yeah, if you wanted to characterize the first one, I guess it's sort of a California rock kind of song.
Well, ironically or appropriately, it's also about California. Actually, it's specifically about Los Angeles and
Yes.
maybe even, ironically, the Palisades.
Well, I was the period that I'm describing in my life, it's I think like a lot of songwriters, when you start out, you tend to do a lot of autobiographical songwriting. I feel like a lot of my stuff's moved beyond that now, but this was definitely a story song based on myself. And at the time that I'm describing in my life, I was living in Pacific Palisades. So.
Wow. And to have you on today after you have been referred to us by two different people. And so and one a couple years ago, I think, and one a year ago, and then finally here we are, interestingly, on this day. So with big gratitude actually to Brent Hahn and Raspin Stewart. Big gratitude to both of them for introducing us to you. And thank you for bringing this song to us today. How appropriate. Is there anything else you want to say before we hear Drive?
No, let's hear it.
Okay, here is Drive by Mike Berman, pre-recorded, presented here on the Life Changes Show.
Or a mountain. Head east on Sunset Boulevard and double back on Fountain. And if you find you lose your way, you can consult my Thomas guide. I would never leave my home without it at my side. And there is hardly any reason why you would go downtown. The air is thick and brown, and there's nobody around. The strip has Tower Records and Hollywood's nearby. We can stand outside the Tommy's with a side of chili fries. Drive. Backs against the hills, golden lakes sprawled in the sea, gasping as she draws the poison air into her lungs. She looks beautiful to me. And if you say she's just a freeway, you don't know her like I do. Have to try out every exit as you go rolling through. And and it surely doesn't matter if you never see the stars. It takes a thousand miles just to find out who you are.
That's a love song to Los Angeles there, Mike.
Yes, and it is.
In light of the moment, you brought tears to my eyes. So thank you for sharing that particular song. Trying to keep it light, you said Thomas Guide and Tower Records.
Well, you know, getting back to what Tom was saying about the parable of the waterfall. And by the way, when he was talking about the parable of the waterfall, I was thinking about the waterfall in Eaton Canyon.
Oh.
A lot of people have probably done that hike, but
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm talking about things that are no longer there. Tower Records isn't there, and
Thomas Guide.
I don't think you can buy a new one. I got a couple old ones I keep around just for nostalgia's sake.
Oh, so nice.
I think that change. It's hard to think of a place that more embodies constant change than Los Angeles.
Mm. So. Interesting. And drives it. It has been driving it too.
Yeah.
Well,
and also the irony is not lost on me that you know, part of a big chunk of the damage we've done to the environment is all that driving around. So
interesting. You know. But that's what we do. It's how we get around here. Right.
And that was so, freedom to me when I was 16, you know, to go out with my friends and just explore and you know what a fantastic playground Los Angeles was and is to this day.
I certainly enjoyed your music, as I shared, and I know others enjoy. It's interesting, when I asked you what others say about your music, you said things like they'd mentioned the storytelling. It's almost it comes from a comfort place. It's comforting. What was that funny one? It's almost like,
oh yeah, somebody said he said, Mike, you know, when I listen to your songs, I almost feel like I'm getting into a warm bath.
I love it.
And I thought, well, I guess I'm not Mr. Excitement then, but that's
in
nice
Los
feeling.
Angeles while you're driving in the back of a limo, in the back of a limo with the pool
there
in the back.
You go. I don't... There's an image.
Oh my gosh. And that means something to you because you know something's working. What is that?
I think it's connection. I think everybody who's a storyteller, and whether you tell it as a writer, as a painter, or a musician, songwriter, you create your own stories, but you want that pleasure of knowing that they reach other people and that they connect with your stories and that they walk away feeling something. I think it's nice if people say, oh, it's a nice tune and I like to hum it. I think that's really cool. But if people say, wow, I haven't thought about Thomas Guide for a long time, or
or you brought tears to my eyes because you're singing
you brought
about
tears to my
Los
eyes
Angeles.
Is always a great one. Or, you know, I've performed that song for you know, groups of 18 and 19 and 20 year olds, and they respond, they go, yeah, I get it, you know, because it's that freedom of being on your own, even though driving doesn't mean the same to today's younger people that it did to us. It's changed,
yeah,
as well it should.
Yeah.
So, but the emotions don't change, right?
We are human after all. So this next song we're going to get to hear, I'd love for you to share a little bit about that, because interestingly enough, it's so appropriate. It's so appropriate for this particular episode with our guest and what he shared, and about waking up in the morning every single morning, right? And we've been I know, and I and so many people I know, wondering what will be left of the city in the next morning. So talk to us about this song that you chose for us specifically.
Yeah, so this is from my forthcoming album Ghosts, which is going to be coming out this year in April of 2025, if you're listening to this later. And so this is its debut performance. And it what I think is beautiful about it to me is it's a song of hope, it's a song of comfort, it's a song about going through a long dark night and then seeing the morning light. And realizing that the morning has come and that it's a new day and that you can take solace from that and go on and put the past behind you and move forward.
And with that, here's Mike Berman's song In the Clear Morning, premiering here on the Life Changes Show, pre-recorded.
In the clear morning, at the end of night, all the fires burn smaller and the ghosts fade into light. As I wipe my bleary eyes and try to put aside the fight, in the clear morning, after the dark of the night. In the clear morning, as the red sky starts to shine and the sun slips slowly above the city line, my heart starts to recover and I know that I'll be fine. In the clear morning, as the red sky starts to shine. Seemed endless as I rocked from side to side, as I begged for the mercy that my dreams seemed to hide. So alone and tired, and the minutes slide slowly by. My thoughts possess me no matter what I try, but in the clear the end of the night, I can smell the wood smoke burning and see the fire's glowing light. I'm so grateful for the moment when the day comes into sight. In the clear morning, at the end of the night, the clear after the long dark
night. Mike Berman from his upcoming album Ghosts. I want to let everybody know Mike Berman. Berman is Berman, and MikeBermanMusic.com is where you can learn everything Mike Berman. You can also find him, Mike Berman Music, on all the socials. We have the links for him at Life Changes Show. Just look up the Mike Berman page. And then also his YouTube is M Berman Music. But again, find those links there. Mike, I want to ask you again, that song seems so appropriate. And that was written when?
About a year ago, year and a half ago. You know, I think, isn't that the beautiful thing about songs and stories? They find their own meaning in their time. And
yeah, wow.
That's what's so magical about it, I think.
And you recorded that when, do you recall?
It was last year. It would have been probably around last summer sometime.
Wow. Wow. And why ghosts?
Well, I put the album together, the songs I wanted to do, and I looked at them and I saw that three of them had the word ghost or ghosts in the song, including that last one. It talks about the ghosts in that song. And I thought, maybe there's something here. And I kind of looked at it. And the ghost of my mother appears, the ghost of a victim of police brutality, the ghosts of children who faced gun violence, the ghost of a father being buried by his adult children. And so all those stories seem to have that. And it turns out there are a lot of people talking about ghosts right now. I think it's for some odd reason, it seems very timely.
It's in the air.
It's in the air.
Mike, what an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. I'd love to sit down and just enjoy you live someday. So please let us know when you're doing your, maybe absolutely, when it's the Ghost album comes out. Let the audience know, please.
There will be a performance, and but I appear regularly in South Pasadena and other places around Los Angeles. So if you check my website, you can find out where I'll be performing.
And that would be Mike Berman, Berman music.com. Mike, with that, I thank you so much. What a pleasure, truly.
Thank you so much. This is really fun, and what a wonderful opportunity. And thanks to Brent and Raspin also.
Yes, indeed. Always thanks to them as well. So with a big thank you to Mike Berman and another big thank you to our interview guest, Tom Gurney, that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeune, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours assuredly did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com. On Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.